how do driven entrepreneurs like you and me, who want to play the game of life at our full potential, actually do that so that we net seven figures a year and experience the overall exceptional life? It's all about leveraging our most valuable asset, our brain. But how do we train our brain to actually rewire our autopilot so that all of the right actions and focus happens automatically without thinking as we create the exceptional life in business, health, and our significant other relationships? These are the questions, and this is the podcast that answers them. This is where your net seven figures a year freedom begins. Welcome, I'm Kelly Hatfield.
Hey, and I'm John Mitchell. So today we're going to have a little discussion about the internal and external journey that we're all on. And let me explain this idea a little. So as you would know, we're all on a journey that everybody else sort of sees, and we're also on a journey that only we see. And that journey that only we see is the one that's way more interesting. And so I'll share my journey on both. And then Kelly, why don't you share yours?
Sounds good. Let's do it.
Okay. So when I was in my 30s and 40s, the external journey that everybody saw was, and I think this is true with everybody, you know, I had two goals in my life: to make enough money so I didn't have to work, and to find the woman of my dreams. And so the external journey that everybody saw was, well, they saw that I lived in a nice house, not a great house, but, you know, I'm making $200,000-$300,000 a year. So I'm living in a house that's commensurate with that. And they also see that I'm not married throughout my 30s and 40s. And no doubt they perceived that I couldn't make a commitment, don't you think?
Probably. That's what I think.
Right. And many others said that too. But so that was sort of the external thing that was going on. But internally, what was going on was, you know, I was just frustrated. I was, working harder than all my friends. And I experienced that disconnect between my efforts and my results. And you know, it was just frustrating. And you know, I just intuitively felt like I was playing at 20% of my potential, but I didn't really know why. And, you know, I kept on always sort of looking for that success formula and, you know, never really finding it until I got in my 50s. But throughout my 30s and 40s, there's got to be something that if I just do this, I'll be successful. And that disconnect was so frustrating. And so off I go throughout my 30s and 40s, and I just can't seem to find satisfaction. And I again, that idea that I'm playing way below my potential was so predominant. And I remember, you know, when I was probably 40 years old, I'm like, okay, I'm just going to do my best. That's all I can control. I can't seem to control the outcomes, but I can control doing my best, or what I thought was my best. You know, now I see that what I thought was my best wasn't even close to my best. But that was sort of internally what was going on with me. And then I roll into my 50s. And so, of course, my life radically changes from what I discovered. You know, I discovered that false belief I had about success, that I was playing full out. Well, I wasn't playing full out. I mean, I wasn't even playing nearly full out, way under my potential, because what I realized was that my actions determine my success, and 95% of my actions are subconscious. Therefore, the only way to play full out is to control those unconscious daily actions by rewiring your autopilot. So as I rectify that false belief in my 50s, the external world changed. You know, I moved to Austin. I built a house on the lake. Now it's a big house. And then I met Ginger and had the good sense to marry her, which I'm sure a lot of my friends thought I wouldn't have that good sense. But, you know, if you meet the Ging, you got to love the Ging.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
And so that was what was going on the outside. And as good as it was, it pales in comparison to what was going on in the inside. And I see that the first thing that I experienced internally was just immense gratitude and feeling so blessed for what this has done for me that I started a foundation to help single moms. I had an intense desire to help other people. But I also saw that through this 12-minute day technique, I had immense control over my life to a level I had never experienced before. And you know, that played out in a couple of ways. First of all, one of the things I would feed myself every day and still do is my top three values. Well, guess what? When you feed that to yourself every day, you live those values. And that's tremendously gratifying. And you know, the other thing about this was that control, you know, the mind thrives on order. And because I felt control, that created order. So I intuitively felt happiness from that sense of control. But even more important than that, I felt confidence because that control gave me confidence. And whereas in my 30s, 40s, when I'd wake up each day, I would feel stressed and reactive, you know, in my 50s, just the opposite. I felt confident. I couldn't wait for the day to start. I knew where I was going. I knew how I was getting there. And it was 1,000 times better way to operate than I had in my 30s and 40s. And I guess maybe to wrap this up on my end, I saw that I thought my original goal was to create financial freedom and have enough money so I didn't have to work. And so I could see what life was like without having to work. But what I evolved to, and I think you're probably a lot like this, what really evolved was I saw that I started playing the game of life at 100% of my potential, at my full potential. And that was more satisfying than anything, way more satisfying than the money or anything else. But playing the game at my full potential and being able to self-actualize in a way where I could just be whatever I was meant to be has been the most gratifying. So that's my internal and external journey. I'm going to toss it to you. So,
okay. Well, before I dig into mine, I'm really curious, you listed a kind of a list of some of the things that of how things are different before and after, but if you were to just distill it down to one thing, like the greatest impact that this has had in your life from post the 12-minute a day technique to pre the 12-minute a day technique, what would you, you know, if you could distill it down to one thing, what would that one thing be?
Well, I think it's really just that sense of control. I mean, you know, I see that control allowed me to do things I couldn't do before. And that's what caused me to have more success. I just had more control over my actions. And like I said, I could do things I couldn't do before. And that created the success. But as I also saw that the success really paled in comparison to sort of what I was feeling internally in terms of really playing the game of life at my full potential.
Mm-hmm. Does control, is it synonymous with discipline? Because when you say you could do the things you just couldn't do before, like, are those two things, you know, the same or are they different?
No, I think they are. I think they are. And, you know, so often I think people either acknowledge it verbally or they think it. I don't have discipline.
Yeah.
Well, Of course, you don't have discipline if you're not controlling your autopilot. If 95% of your daily actions are unconscious, of course you don't have discipline, but it's easy to get discipline. So, I mean, and I know people go, oh, sure it is. No, it is. Seriously.
It is. Yeah, no, so, I can testify to that. That's for sure. Because I don't know whether I ever consciously thought, oh, I'm not disciplined enough to do that. But I would absolutely be like, well, why can't I know I need to do this. Why can't I do it consistently? Which is the same thing as saying, I don't have discipline, right?
Right. Yeah, right.
So anyway, just really interesting. I was curious on your thoughts on that as you were talking.
I thought
interesting. There were a couple of things that just stood out there for me.
Okay, let's dig into your psyche. That's where what's really interesting.
You know, I think, you know, as we were talking, you know, a little bit about this prior to you know, recording, you know, I think the thing that stands out to me is, you know, as far as my internal journey goes, and I'll start when I became an entrepreneur, because I spent 14 years working, you know, for a big box recruiting firm before I went out on my own and started my own firm.
Right.
So I'm going to start at the beginning of my entrepreneurial journey. And I just remember, you know, I had a lot of confidence. I was like, I can do this better. That's why I left to start my own company, was that I can take the best of this world with the way I want to do it. And I know I can do this. But that confidence quickly eroded. You see, I knew how to recruit. I knew how to grow a business because I managed that business for, you know, 10 years of the 14 that I was there. But it's a different thing being an entrepreneur. It's a whole other ball of wax. So I remember very shortly after sitting in my office, my business partner and I were looking, you know, we're looking at each other after we'd had our exit interview, you know, at our, at the company that we left. We'd already had our space leased, you know, and we sat there and looked at each other and I'm like, now what the hell do we do? So I remember thinking, like, having enough confidence to take the leap of faith as an entrepreneur, but quickly that confidence, the internal struggle for me was that imposter syndrome. Like, who the heck do you think you are to be doing this? You know, like, you know, just again, confidence that I had as soon as, like, and granted too, I did this in 2009, nobody was hiring, everybody was laying off, and this had to focus on engineering. And so, nobody, you know, was hiring. And so I remember, and like my internal struggle as I was going through this was, what the hell did you just do? You just quit a six-figure-a-year job. You know, and you have nothing, no income coming in right now. There's no, you know, I remember crying on my way home from the office, like, oh my God, what did you just do? There's no, phone's not ringing. You're making all these calls, nothing's happening. And so I think, you know, so that's the beginning of my journey, you know, but what people saw was, man, what a badass. This gal left her job, left everything behind. She started this business, you know, but internally, you know, I was like, you know, a disaster, you know.
But did you have this imposter syndrome? Talk about that. Did you have this inner voice saying that you're not going to be able to do this, or what was going on there?
Yeah, I don't know whether it was, you know, I'm not sure. I just remember thinking, who do you think you are? Like, to just, you know, you're going to start this new business and you're going to, you know, like, that doubt started to creep in. And especially it was because of the time that we were in, you know, you're watching that nobody's loaning any money, you know, so we're doing this on a shoestring. And, you know, so it was a really challenging time. And then I thought, you know, I have always had a growth mindset, you know, obviously. So we start listening to Tony Robbins, and like, anything we can do to keep our mindset in the right place is we're struggling. And we knew, you just keep doing the right things consistently. When the faucet comes back on, it'll come back on in a gush. And that's exactly what happened. So then for the next 4 years, double digit, triple digit growth, 100% growth year over year for those 4 years, we're rolling, you know, and you know, and feeling pretty good about ourselves. Like, I remember sitting, you know, and looking at my business partner going, this is easy, you know, and then I'm like, we're going to, you know, somebody's going to I'm paying for that comment. I know I'm going to, which is exactly what happened. You know, what got us to that level? Because we just then we kept bumping up against this ceiling, and what got us to that level was very clear was not going to get us to the next level.
Right.
But again, externally, what people saw was the upgrades in the house, the new cars, this growth. We're all over. We've got write-ups in local newspapers, all of this stuff happening. And, you know, we're in the recruiting business and we're having trouble hiring the right people for the team. You know, it's like the shoes, you know, it's like the cobbler whose shoes are in disrepair.
Right. Yeah.
You know, so, you know, and it was this discussion we kept having over and over, which was, it was the identical discussion we were having over and over about growth, not being able to break through to the next level. And so back to what we were talking about a moment ago, I'm like, why can't, you know, I know the things that I need to be doing. I know the strategies, but I keep getting in my own way, you know, not doing things consistently enough to make a, you know, to be able to make a difference and get traction.
And were you feeling what I was feeling, which is, you know, I'm playing at 20%, but I don't know why.
Yeah.
100%. Did you feel that way?
I remember laying in bed at night and like beating myself up because I'm like, what are you doing? You've got so much more gas in the tank. How come this isn't translating to the next level? And why aren't you showing up really the way you need to show up? Because I'd go into the day with the best intentions. Mm. You know what I mean? You know, and then I'd get swept up in everything that was going on in the office. Mm-hmm. The end of the day would come, you know, first one to show up, last one to leave. And nothing to show for it because I was everybody else's agenda. You know, I was letting their agenda become mine, you know, so I think that's kind of where I was at and on this mission to fix the problem when you and I met.
Let's hear how
now post, you know, 12 minute a day methodology and kind of that internal and external, it goes back to what we were talking about as far as control. Mm-hmm. But the other thing too, is when you're one of the things that there's just so many things that have been beneficial, but one of the initial things for me that was most beneficial was going through the process of finding clarity and getting really clear, because it wasn't like I had clarity about like at a 30,000 foot view, but for me too, it was getting clear about who I needed to become, who I needed to show up as to be able to hit those goals. So remember when you were talking about your top three values?
Right.
Okay. Well, one of the ones that was really important to me, and I want to give people an example of this so they can kind of draw a line. It's I always do what I say I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Yeah. When you are, that's part of your 12 minute a day methodology. You make decisions differently. My old programming was saying yes to everything. People, right. You know, to people please, to like, I didn't want to let people down. But when you are, one of your values is that you always do what you say you're going to do. It isn't then that it means that you put yourself in the ground to keep a commitment. Mm-hmm. It means you're very careful about the commitments you make.
Yeah, absolutely.
And what you say yes to. Mm-hmm. And so that shifted my world on its axis. And then every time I'm committing and doing what I say I'm going to do, it's reinforcing that in my brain. And I'm gaining more and more confidence. And I'm so careful about what I say yes to that, again, because I'm reading the things that move the needle for me.
Right.
That all of those things just go hand in hand. So back to this person I needed to become to hit the numbers that I needed to hit, to reach the goals. Mm-hmm. There was a real, what's the word I'm looking for? Disconnect pre 12 minute a day,
right.
To post 12 minute a day. I didn't really understand that I needed to be, that there was a different way I needed to show up consistently to get the outcomes and the results. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And you know, it's interesting to hear yours. And this is what I find fascinating. You know, to a large degree at 50, for me, it was all about the money. I mean, that's what I thought at 50, because I saw I had to start netting seven figures a year to had the exceptional life. But for you, it really wasn't about the money. I think it was more about self-actualizing and playing the game of life at your full potential. That seemed to be the essence of you. Is that right?
100%. You know, and that comes back to too, just my, you know, some of the things that have formed me, where it's like, I just feel really lucky that each day I get, like, every day is like a gift. Like every day I'm above ground is a great day. So right. make the most of it. And I was more disappointed in myself that I wasn't making the most of it, and that I hadn't made the connections between, oh, you need to show up differently. Not that I need to become a different person, but you need to show up differently consistently to be able to achieve the things that you want to achieve. You know, the exceptional life that you're seeking, the freedom that you're seeking, means you've got to do things a different way and you have to show up differently. And right. So for me, you know, and two, we're talking late 30s, you know, early 40s, you know, so I, at that point, I always feel the pressure of time, because I'm motivated by my mortality, just because of my past and everything. So I think, but the money part of it never was. It was more about like being the best version of yourself. I know that kind of sounds cliche and everything, but it's just really true. And it's how I felt. And that I beat myself more up over that than a 12 minute a day method versus
right.
Post. It's like, I don't even think about it because I'm showing up, you know what right. I mean? In every way.
Well, and I guess the joy today is just, you know, living your life with confidence and having control. And, you know, just like I experienced, that was the joy, you know, that the inner journey is way better than the external journey. And I know, you know, when you start making money, that's real money. That's great. And it's all good. And it's a source of pride. But as you get past that, you see the real value is that internal journey that you're really self-actualizing now, that you can really be the person you were put on the earth to be. And you know, that's the cool part, right?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, just as you're listening, it's like, for me, the money came as a result of, it's like mm-hmm. that energy, what you know, again, some of these things that sound a little cliche and everything, but the energy you put out, you get what you give. How you show up is what comes back. And it's kind right. of that whole thing for me. So when I just focused on showing up the way I needed to show up, then the other stuff fell into place because it all emanates from me.
Right.
You know, well, and so the external was a result of the internal, the external and all of the benefits and all of that came as a result of what was happening internally.
Right. Well, and you know, as we wrap this up, you know, it reminds me of the part of Think and Grow Rich, the part of the secret he gives you, that everything starts with a thought. And I see, and I think you would probably agree, you know, the pivotal moment was not all the things that happened to us after we did it. The pivotal moment was changing a false belief we had about success and going, having that aha moment, that epiphany, and seeing, oh, wow, I got to control my autopilot because that controls 95% of my actions. It was that epiphany that ultimately changed everything, because then once we had that epiphany and changed that false belief, then everything could flow from there. It's like the floodgates opened and now the new life, new way of doing life started. So,
yep.
Okay, well, this is good. So if you want to learn more, go to thinkitbeit.com or email me at john@thinkitbeit.com or kelly@thinkitbeit.com. See you next time.
Thanks for listening today. If you've had your own aha moment from today's episode, send me or John an email. We'd love to share your epiphany with our audience. So email us at kelly@thinkitbeit.com or john@thinkitbeit.com. In the meantime, live the exceptional life.